WNST, Towson Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively all this close to Super Bowl week. We're down to the last couple of teams, the last couple of games. What are we going to do when football is over with? But the Sports Business Journal covers all of these things, even some stuff I don't care about, like NASCAR and weird stuff like that. This guy's been my friend for a long time, but even more so, it's always interesting when I have John Rand on because he's an Oriole guy. He's a Wizard guy. He's a Capitals guy, a District guy, a Nationals, Natitude guy, all of the above. He's local, but he covers the world of sports, and we're about to go to the Super Bowl, where I think we met 20 years ago, maybe more than that, a long, long time ago. But how are you? It's been a little while since I've had you on. Nothing happening in the sports business world at all, right?
Before we get into the sports business, Nestor, I got to find out about the Crab Cake Tour. I'm fascinated. When are we going to see something on that? Are you going to post videos? Are you going to have a book? Like, what's happening with the Crab Cake Tour?
So the Crab Cake Tour happened because of politics, and I was going to run for mayor. I decided not to about a year and a half ago, and I said, what am I going to do with the Baltimore Positive brand I've built to maybe run for mayor or maybe have a media platform, and how does it relate to Maryland? And the crab became the logo part of what I thought, and I said, man, you know, the one jerk that works for that crazy place eats pizza everywhere and spits it out and does all that. I said, I used to do Raven shows where I would sit and eat crabs or crab cakes with Ray Lewis, Rod Woodson, Vinny Testaverde 30 years ago. The crab cake it's neat. Everyone has a crab cake, right? So when I lived in downtown Baltimore the last 20 years, every restaurant you would go into, every little pub, every little bar, they would say, we have a crab cake. It's better than you think. It's homemade. I'm like, it's not frozen if you're serving it in Baltimore. Everyone and every one of them, and you know this, they're different. Some have a little more mayonnaise. Some have a little more mustard. Some have a little more Old Bay. Some are fried. And I figured I'll never eat the same one twice. And it'll be an eternal debate, as it is here with Fadley's and Costas and, you know, all sorts of, everyone has their favorite. But everyone's willing to try a new one, you know, willing to go over the ledge, say, let me try that crab cake or that crab ball. So what I've done is statewide, it's taken people like you when I come down to Montgomery County or PG County. You could have met me over at MGM for Bruno Mars back in August and had a crab cake cafe. You know, I mean,
you know what? I was going to take you out to the best one in DC, but those cost like $40.
That's
now.
Okay. That's okay. I mean, where are we? I am funded for the crab cake tour. So where are we going? Where's the place in DC you're going to take me?
Black Salt in DC, but they're overpriced. I wouldn't even on an expense account, I wouldn't spend $40 on a crab cake.
Well, what happened was this, and this is part of the education. See, I got into this thinking there'd be fame, fortune, crab cakes, beer. And what happened was literally the more I did this, because it is so endemic to the water here and watermen and people and restaurants and pricing and our friends at Wise Market selling a pound of crab meat for $55 a pound and having to justify that in July and August because there aren't people out on the water pulling the crabs. Crabs are one of the last thing, and this goes to the whole educational process of this, that have to be hunted. They're not. You don't grow them. Oysters, they make beds for oysters and you can harvest them. You cattle are on a range. Chickens are in a coop. We don't hunt them. Crabs are like one of the last things you literally have to go into the water, hunt them, hope that they're there, hope that they make their way up the bay, hope that they're big enough, like all of that. So it's very volatile, the pricing. And I learned that this summer. I had people came to me, John, back in like May and June. They're like, dude, crabs can be $50 a pound. It's going to get real expensive to eat crab cakes in August here. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to get sponsors and I'm going to go do this because I want you to know about Old Salties in Hooper's Island. I want you to know about The Hobbit in Ocean City. I want you to know about Suicide Bridge in Hurlock, Maryland. You go to the Confederate flag that's as big as a house, and then you make the left at the Trump flag and go around the corner from the Brandon flag. And there's
sounds
a
like
great
you're describing it sounds like you're describing Cantlers.
Or anywhere, you know, west of Frederick or east of.
So all right, so I know we're on to talk about sports, but I'm so fascinated by your tour. What's the top three crab cakes that you've had in Maryland?
See, I'm not doing that. See, I'm just giving you a couple of names to play. Did I just give you three places on the Eastern Shore? I just gave you three places you've never been, you've never heard of.
Let me ask you another question.
Hurlock, Maryland.
What was the most surprising one where you were like, oh, this is going to be awful, and you bit into it, you're like, wow.
Okay, you ready? I'm at the Ocean City Convention Center doing an interview with Ben Cardin. And it was set up through Chamber of Commerce. I was at the beach for Mako and for a political thing. And so all the politicians are there and like all this stuff. And I know Ben. Ben was going to say, because Ben loves crab cake. Ben was going to put it, Ben came on the air and said that he went to the State House and he was going to treat the crab cake like champagne or like bourbon. Whereas you cannot say in Florida, you serve a Maryland crab cake because it's not, the meat didn't come from Maryland. Like his point is there. The Maryland crab meat is the rarest crab meat. It's only absolutely harvested. Yeah. It's the sweetest because of the brininess of the water, the brackishness of the water north. So if you go into tributaries, the crabs are bigger and sweeter later in the season. I've learned all of this, right? So August was the perfect month to do the crab cake tour because it tastes the best. And in some cases, I had to pay $40 for a crab cake because that's what they were paying to get it out of the water. So it's a seasonal deal to some degree, but I would say I went to the convention center and a chef came out and you'll love this. He was wearing a Super Bowl jacket, chef jacket. He had done Taste of the NFL. A lot of the, he's a convention chef. He brought me this crab cake with these potato things and a coleslaw and a remoulade. It wasn't even like Maryland. It was like a remoulade with Old Bay in it. It was just outrageous. It was like outrageous.
At a convention center.
At the Ocean City Convention, this chef brought me a crab cake and it was like, I wanted three more. I'm going back to Mako next year. I'm going to bring it. He didn't come on and sit in on the set because we had the congressman or whatever. He's sitting down and we're going to talk about food. Like I'm going to talk about food with Andrew Zimmern 2 weeks from now at the Super Bowl. You're going to the Super Bowl, John, right?
I'll be at the Super Bowl. Absolutely. I'll be there all week.
Don't order crab cakes in LA. Don't do that.
Oh my God. Never, never. I don't order crab cakes in Philly, man. You can't, once you get outside this little area, you can't do it.
John Arand is here. He's sports business. I knew you wanted to talk to me about the crab cake. And listen,
I love this. That whole tour was great. And
it's not over. Is what I'm saying. It's never going to end. Listen, and I'm a break news here because you're a newsmaker. We are going to do 12 to 15 black owned businesses in May. I'm making May black-owned local business in the city, in the county. I don't care where it is. I want to take care of places you've never heard of. I want to go to places, not Coco's, not G&M, not Costas, not Faithy's, my partners. I love them. But I want to discover 12 to 15 new crab cakes I've never had, sides I've never had, places I've never been. That's May. And then in August, I'm doing 31 crab cakes in 31 days, the month of August.
Oh, that's going to be great.
So it's my 31st year on radio. So I did 30 crab cakes for 30 days for my 30th. This is my 31st anniversary. So I promise you.
One more question before we go on. For Nestor Aparicio, what makes a good crab cake? Is it a lot of back fin? Is it like good filling? Is it, what for you is the best type of crab cake?
So you used the word filling. So the vernacular in Baltimore is, it's got too much filler in it. Got new filler in it. Got new crab meat in it.
I'm betraying my roots there. That's great.
Yeah, well, it's good. I do that all. I can be a caller and a listener and a host. I've often thought that I could sit here all day and do wacky calls to myself and take it on like it's nasty and be funny. But the filler thing is interesting because that is the secret. First, the secret is if you go out in the summer, two secrets. Female crab meat is sweeter. So if you see orange roe, if you see like the orange stuff, not yellow like mustard, orange roe, and Suicide Bridge in Hurlock would be a great example of this. Old Salties in Hooper's Island, if you're looking for some hints. You have to drive to get to these places. You have to go through places like Blackwater Refuge. You have to go on the Underground Railroad Trail and Harriet Tubman over on the Eastern Shore. You have to learn stuff. You have to go to Antietam. And to get, you know, just, and Frederick had a great crab cake. Oh my God. Downtown Frederick's a foodie. We're going back to downtown Frederick. I'm going to stay there for 2 or 3 days and I'm going to discover Frederick in August. These places we went that we weren't sure how we go to Deep Creek. If you've never been to Swallow Falls, oh my, it's one of the most beautiful places.
Oh, I love Deep Creek. I would never order a crab cake there. They don't have crabs over there.
See, this is where you have to, you go to the Silver Tree. I have friends. Okay, go to Dutch's out and you'll be fine. Go in the dark, go on the lake with your wife, sit in the chair, one of those Adirondack. It's beautiful out there. So I didn't want to discriminate against any of these places. But for me, female crab meat in the summer, you know, when it's high harvest, and then the slurry, the wherever be slurry. So it's whatever the concoction is, whatever the, your concoction of mayonnaise, mustard, dry, celery seed, Worcestershire, Old Bay, lemon, paprika, parsley, whatever you put in it, then that becomes the magic. But the magic, and we'll get on to sports, John, and this is really important. Remember this, okay? If it comes out of a sealed can, it's from Asia. And it's not only not Maryland blue crab, it's not blue crab at all. It's red crab, and it's a different species of crab, like a Dungeness, but sweeter. And there are places, and I know of a place in Harford County that's made a living out of pulling crab meat out of a can from Asia and slurrying it all up, and people think they're eating something, but it has this bitterness to it because it's been canned. And if you, and especially, and I don't want to gross you out, but the next day you'll know what I'm talking about, that the difference between crab meat that's been in a can for 8 months and shipped from the other side of the world, and the difference between being on the Eastern Shore or even in Cumberland or even in Deep Creek Lake in August, that you're getting crab meat from North Carolina, Maryland, maybe Venezuela or Texas. Venezuelan crab meat's phenomenal. I'm not saying that because I'm Venezuelan, but it's the same crab. Lake Maracaibo, where my people are from, my father, my whole family's from Lake Maracaibo. They harvest crab there, and it's on season, off season, right? So when we're off season, they harvest there. So when you get a fresh, delicious crab cake on January 29th in Baltimore, it might be Venezuelan meat, but it's the same crab. It's a, right. It comes out of a plastic tin, right? That we ice down fresh, not in a can with a can opener on it.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
that would,
yeah.
So that, is that good? Did I get somewhere with you?
Yeah, no, I got it. I got it. It's a combo because around here people that don't know crab cakes always just want to see a ton of crab meat. And I'm like, it's not about the crab meat. It's about
slurry.
The slurry. The filler.
And I think also it's a little bit of the marination. So my favorite crab cakes were Angelina's. And it's easy for me to say that because they're out of business. They ship. And I'm going to do their crab cake with a charity thing this summer because the Angelina's crab cake was my favorite crab cake. And there are a few places that are similar. Michael's and Timonium and my friends and partners at Greenmount Station. If you get up to Hampstead, they're going to have an OTB up there. They're going to have a casino up there. His crab cakes are in that family. Costas is more of an East Baltimore crab cake, a little more Old Bay, a little more mustard. Fadley's very mustard forward. That's their slurry. They're different. They're all delicious. They all taste great. Brioche, all great. You know? John Aranda is here.
Thing is, like, to me, it's like not only about the taste, but where you're eating it. Like, if you're eating it on a river on the Eastern Shore, like you know what, it can almost be Asian, you know, because like, there's a whole sort of sense about like relaxing and eating them. So,
John, you talk about these $40 crab cakes, and what's your Gucci place in DC? What's the name of it?
Black Salt.
Okay. I'm going to go there, by the way. I'm going to make an exception on one of the days we'll go. But I would say to you that the pricing of it and the way it's made and the jumbo lump crab meat that my friends at Fadley's talk about, that they created jumbo lump to make it sellable. It used to just be back fin, right? You're right. So I would say that all of that and taking into consideration for the meat and where we are, if you don't have the right slurry and if you're not getting local meat, it you might as well go to LA or Florida and order a crab cake. I mean, and I think anywhere around here, that was the beauty of the crab cake tour, that it never ends. And I can go to Hamden, I can go to Montgomery County, I can go to Anne Arundel County, I go anywhere. And if I walk into a bar or restaurant that's a legitimate place, they probably have a crab cake on their menu. It might be $28 in season, it might be $18 or whatever, but their mother made it a certain way. And I grew up poor. Okay. I grew up poor in Dundalk. There were 50 places my parents and I got crabs or crab cakes as a kid. Some of them still in business. Schultz's Crab House in Essex, Ross's Crabnet. I've talked about all these places, House of Neptune, all these places in Dundalk. And in Dundalk, when I was a kid in the 70s, there was no jumbo lump crab meat. It wasn't marketed like that, right? It was back fin or special. And we always bought the special because we were poor. And that was what cost $6.99, you know, for a pound instead of $11.99 back in 1978. And my mom would mix all the ingredients, you know, the French's mustard, mayonnaise, you know, all that stuff in there. And she'd fry the hell out of them. And they were like little hockey pucks, little oily hockey pucks, and they were crunchy, and it tastes a little like bacon, you know, when you crunch. And so when I tell real crab. When I go to The Hobbit, where they're making this delightful, delicate thing, or when I'm at Harrison's down at the beach, or Blue down in Ocean City, and they're making this delicate jumbo, I'm like, you don't want to know what's going to happen to that when you make it too big and I take half of it home, because I'm going to flatten it in a frying pan. I'm going to fry the hell out of it. I'm going to crunch it. And you're going to say, oh, it was $55 a pound. You just dumped ketchup on a filet. What are you doing? You know, John Arand is here, Sports Business Journal. He, tell me what you do. Give the elevator speech for your job and what you do, because it's so unique what you do.
So I write for Sports Business Journal. We're a weekly magazine. We also, of course, have a website. And my beat is I cover the business of sports media. So basically, if ESPN burps, I'm there to document it. My big stories have been, you know, the rights deals. NFL just got $110 billion in media rights. And I was there sort of documenting it.
You and know, places that we don't, like Amazon, different and different places that are going to be recruiting Troy Aikman, right? Like that we're going to start to hear about things other than CBS, NBC, Fox. I streamed the games this weekend, dude. It sucked. The greatest weekend in the history of the league. And my stream went out in overtime. I looked down on my app and saw that the Rams had won. Like streaming's not... It's not there, dude. As a 53-year-old dude that's watched football, that remembers back when the Raiders played the Eagles and my cable went out in 1981, you know what I mean? Like, streaming's not fully there the way no, that they want it to
gonna,
be there.
It's going to take a while. It's going to get better. But the problem is that the broadcast networks and, I mean, we talk about this every time I come on with Masson. You know, the broadcast networks and the cable networks like ESPN, they make so much money from cable operators that pay to put them on their system. So they have what they call a dual revenue stream. They get money from the cable operators and they get money from advertising. The reason why I'm so skeptical about the Amazons and the Apples, and they're for-profit businesses and they're big enough that they could buy and sell ESPN, you know, a couple times over. But they're for-profit businesses, and they only have really that one revenue stream. They can only really sell advertising against it. I mean, if you're Amazon, you can put like different links up there. That, yeah, if you want this uniform, you can click here. But you know that's a business that really hasn't developed yet in terms of live sports. And so
we don't think of it as lives. I don't think about going to YouTube to watch a football game unless they're putting the Jets on against the Jaguars at 9 a.m.
some
on a Sunday. They're both 2-11, and I'm not going to watch it anyway, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'm a big skeptic because I for ESPN getting these rights deals, that's their reason for living. If they don't get these rights deals, ESPN ceases to exist. If
Amazon specifically for like college football champion, the things that they've really wrapped their pole around, because it's not SportsCenter for them anymore, any more than for MTV, it's music videos, right?
Exactly. And if you're Amazon, if you don't get that college football playoff, like big deal. That's like that's not even a pimple on Amazon right now. It's just kind of like they're dabbling in it. It's not life or death for Amazon. It's life or death for Fox Sports and for ESPN and for CBS Sports.
Let's take this to 100,000 feet. John Arand is here. He is the professor of sports business at Sports Business Journal. He's local.
I like that title.
Yeah, when did you get that Oriole? Is that Orenthal? Did you get that Crown Gasoline 1989?
No, you know what? I was going to wear, I always have to wear an Oriole hat with you, and I was going to wear the cartoon bird. But I remember when they ditched the cartoon bird back in like the late 80s. Because
that was 89. They went ornithologically correct because they lost 100 games wearing the cartoon.
They went 0-21 with the cartoon bird. And they were right. Like, well, enough of the cartoon bird. And like that, now we brought back the cartoon bird and we're just as bad as in 88. It drives me
crazy. Maybe it's not the logo. Don't tell Todd Rainham, though. You know, don't tell him that. John, let's start at 100,000 feet about live sports and the plague. And you and I haven't been in a room together since the plague started. I think I've had you on the show one time. And, you know, everywhere it's live, 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 right? Like live sports, it's the only thing that's live. If you follow smart people on Twitter after a weekend like we had here, divisional weekend, you would hear that it's still the greatest theater. You don't know what's going to happen, even with 13 seconds left, wherever it is. And that's why they pay so much money for all of this, right? But I had the weekend where I don't have cable TV at my new, we literally moved Thursday. Settled in on Friday. We did not order cable. My wife's a Verizon employee. We're going to Fios it all up. And we don't even have smart TVs because we're old and we still have TVs from a few years ago that need a Cat 6, right? So we didn't order any of this and we tried streaming. I cannot begin to tell you how the Paramount $4.99 plus package, and now we're out here and my wife's like, Spotify, YouTube, do we want a cable cut? Do we want to do this? Do we want to do that? Do we want to have a smart TV? Do we want to watch TV on YouTube? Like the decisions to be made and maybe this is why I even bothered you this week and even thought about this is because I'm having a change of life and I'm having that moment that your kids have when they go to college and say, I ain't getting cable. I'm not taking on a bill at this point. Right. But there's the live part of this that is your, you know, literally at the middle of what you and I do in sports. And to say that that's the last thing that's still not Cheers or not Family Ties or MASH or any of those TV shows that had a destination or The Bachelor or any of these things like that, that everybody sort of DVRs. And I guess that's an old, it's like TiVoing. It's like an old term, like faxing or something, right? But where the future is going, this is where you have your finger on the pulse of all of this. And for sports, Sinclair went all in thinking sports, everybody's going to love baseball. Now they're doing bet. I was down at the Maryland Live the other day and I'm thinking, I've never known anybody that's bet on a baseball game. And they're cultivating that now through sports. The whole world has changed with this plague. It literally has been a paradigm shift. Well, whenever we get out of it, the world's going to be completely different.
Oh, without question. If you're a sports fan, you have to subscribe to the cable bundle. I mean, you just have to. It's the only way. I mean, they're going to get good someday. I swear, Nestor. But the only way to see the Orioles, only see the Nationals, the Capitals. If you want to see them, the cheapest way to see them is to do that. My wife is not a sports fan and consistently wants us to cut the cord because she sees the bills keep
How much is your cable bill?
But all told, we have internet and phone. We still have a landline phone bundled in, so it's about $200 a month.
Okay, fair enough. All right.
And but she watches Netflix or HBO Max or
you're paying $6 a day, like literally. Exactly. You're right. So you would say, is it worth $6 a day?
So look at you. You have Paramount Plus. Like, how often are you going to go on Paramount Plus?
Dude, I wasn't getting, here's where I am. And this is those suckers at the Baltimore Sun sucked me in on the $1.13 week thing back when I was considering running for office. And then to try to get rid of it. I mean, you want to talk about scam business. If I can't click cancel online, my kid's in his 30s now, he and his wife, and I still think of him as kids. So when I say he's 37 and she's 30, they consider any business where I can't click online and cancel a scam business, right? The Baltimore Sun's a scam business. You can't click and cancel. I had to get on the phone for an hour with somebody in the Philippines, sit on hold, have them repitch me five more times to say, just get rid of my credit card. Stop charging me. And so any time I give my credit card to the web now, I'm totally an old man with any of that, because the 7-day free trial, I'll look up and Paramount will be into me for $80 a year and a half from now before I can get rid of it. And then I'll have to call China and be put on hold on a satellite in order to get rid of it. It really is it's a better business bureau issue for me at this point in dealing with all of this, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's what they can get away with kind of to some degree, right?
Yeah. So the whole idea is that people like my wife and people that don't like sports, that's where the cord cutters are coming from. They've already migrated from
cable is a sports business at this point, right?
Totally, sports and news. It's a live business, and the only way to see things live, and you need to see sports live, in order to know what's going on, is to get cable. And so I suspect that I will be 20 years from now, I will still be a cable subscriber. I suspect it might be something like, you know, FM radio or AM radio. You know, that there will be streams and there.
Well,
will
it'll
be
never atrophy enough that there won't be it, but it'll always shrink, right? It will always shrink.
Look, I'm a hardcore sports fan. I want to watch. I want to watch the Orioles in May. You know, I'm gonna subscribe to cable, right? I'm not gonna necessarily do the streaming service. I mean, could you imagine the MLB and Sinclair are thinking about launching a streaming service for baseball games? in Baltimore, how many subscribers do you think they would get? Like, I'm going to spend money to see
it. What price? The first thing I'd say, is it Super TV for $2 a month? Is it Home Team Sports at $8 a month? Or is this $34.95 a month so I can have Oriole games? You know, like I don't know where that price point is. And John, I'm
stuck on your Super TV comment.
Listen, you're pissed about $40 crab cakes, right? That rankles your feathers, right? What rankles my feathers is $18 beers at sporting events. And what rankles my feathers is $21 to sit on the roof for a shitty baseball team, you know, that's not trying to win. And that there's no $5, there's no bargain basement night, there's no $3 night, $5 night, there's no dollar hot dog night. And I'm not even a cheapskate about all that. I'm just looking at the value of it. We got rid of our Ravens tickets, and I'm proud of it because of the way I've been treated. So my wife and I looked at it. There's $1,900 on my Venmo app from getting rid of Ravens tickets this year that my wife was with her family away. I think my whole bill was maybe $2,800. So we used two of the tickets or three of the tickets. And I have like $1,900 back on my Venmo. It's the only thing I use it for, is to get tickets back. Well, maybe there was that time in Florida with the congressman. No, I didn't do that. I'm sorry. But I have this money now that would fund a vacation, because we didn't go sit in the upper deck at a couple of football games in the rain in October, right? Amongst all visiting fans. The Ravens are trying to sell tickets, and how much it costs to go to games, and I see empty seats, and I see what concerts are costing now, right? When Pearl Jam comes around, it's $300 or whatever to try to get in. The entertainment part of this, and what entertains me, and how good a hockey game is on TV, as opposed to getting in the car, going, parking, the money, $85 to sit on the roof or whatever that number would be, given the, you want to see the Rangers or do you want to see the Canucks or whatever, that we start to weigh all of that, I think, on the other end of the plague. And I think we're all bullish on sports. I think sports, I don't want to say plateaued, but I don't think it could get any bigger. I think there's a shrinkage that I have felt in Baltimore amongst Ravens fans over the last 5 years, specifically from the knee on, and certainly for the Orioles. And you're an Oriole guy, and what the Nationals have meant for that and where the future of baseball is. I'm real worried about sports in our area for the Terps and what they have to do with this basketball thing. And I know you're in on all that. There's a lot of activity trying to get your money and your attention. And I think it's harder and harder to do. For me at 53 who love sports, it's harder for the Wizards or the Capitals to get my attention.
So when you say that you've noticed in Baltimore about the Ravens, what age group are they? Are you talking about?
Everybody my age is aged out. The people that spent 25 years, okay, this is 27 years now, 26 years of Ravens now, right? The first 20 were the same human beings. So I was 30, from the time I was 30 to the time I was 50, it was church. You went to a tailgate, you went to a bar, you had a couch, you had friends that came over for the visiting games. You went to two of the road games. You got on a bus with me. You got on a plane there. You planned a vacation in Chicago or Miami or Phoenix or wherever, maybe LA in the future, right? Or maybe San Diego in the past, right? And for 20 years, the mail came. You paid the bill. It was church. You went with the same people. Then people started dying or moving to Ocean City, or the knee made you politically anxious because of your love for fascism or whatever it might be. And a lot of that went away. And I remember that after the knee, the Ravens played Miami on a Thursday night after the knee, a couple weeks after. Ravens weren't great that year. Obviously Flacco, whatever. Flacco got hit in the head, if you remember, got kneed. I had 50 Dolphins fans in my section, drunk, cops, yelling, all Dolphins. I don't know where the hell they came from. I've never seen such a thing in my life. I'd sat in that stadium for 21 years, and there might have been one Dolphin fan over there kept his mouth shut because that was what was best for him in Section 513 for a long, long time, let alone bringing Steelers fans into my section in the heyday. That just didn't happen. You can't sit in my section. You go over there. You're not sitting here. And it was inhospitable. It was violent, quite frankly, right? And all of that's gone. It's like empty seats here, empty seats there. Hey, you're a Washington football team fan. Nice burgundy and gold. Fix your owner. You know, it used to be, you suck. You know, it used to be a little of that. And I'm saying it's kinder and gentler, which is good. It's good because I always thought there'd be a murder in the upper deck at a football game. I really did. I just thought there would be really bad things that I saw awful things happen throughout the league, not in Baltimore, everywhere I went. Cause I wore a Ravens jersey for 15 years in the upper deck in Cleveland, had dog biscuits on the back of my head. I did all of that. But to see where the next thing is, young people, they're trying to get them into fantasy, trying to get them into bet. They don't care what they bet. They don't care if you buy tickets, bet. And I see at the stadium now a bunch of people that are there, a little bit of a cocktail party, a lot of empty seats, crowds much younger, much less avidity in regard to understanding the game. They have to put signs up now to tell you not to yell on offense. And people still do it because they don't really know how to be a fan. So I would tell you
that in colleges, in order to get the students to stick around for the entire game, they get something when they come through. A raffle ticket.
And they give it away at the 2-minute warning.
Exactly. They give it away in the fourth quarter. Yeah, you have to be there to be present. So if you talk to any of the professional leagues, they're going to suggest that the younger generations are just as big of fans as you and I are. We're about the same age, Nestor. But they express it differently and they show it differently. You and I are totally willing to give up an afternoon and sit down and watch a 3.5-hour football game, which if you include the tailgates, you know, it turns into, you know, a 5-6 hour.
Well, that's what made it worth the money. That's when you were spending $225 on a club seat, right, to be warm at halftime and like all that. When you were spending that money and getting an $8,000 invoice from the Ravens or a $12,000, I mean, real money, like stuff to put your kid through school, right? And you take that on, you're taking on those. You went to preseason games. We would get 50,000 people at preseason games because we were so happy to have a team, right? And so happy to be out seeing girls in bikini tops and drinking beer, and the game didn't matter. It's 100 degrees. And those were parties. And you never thought about the money you were spending. And like literally, you thought it was a good time. I left at 8 a.m. We had ribs today. We're having crab cakes next week. We're doing lamb chops for the Pittsburgh game. Like that's what that generation did. I don't know what the next, my kid's 37, dude, John, this is from my soul, right? Team comes here in 96. I'm so excited to have, I bought 10 PSLs, then moved it to 4. And I thought, me and my son, we're going to talk about the legendary Super Bowl 35. We're going to talk about 40. We're going to grow old in these seats. We're going to sprinkle my ashes in section 513, seats 7 and 8, row 1. My kid, 15 years ago, I got married 18 years ago. My wife started to have the one seat. My son said, I don't want to go and you don't want to pay for me to go. I started selling the 2 seats. Then I couldn't sell them. Then I couldn't give them away. Then the knee happened and I ate thousands of dollars of tickets in 17, 18, 19, 20. And I said, enough. And then Kevin Byrne got mad at me for saying on the radio that I got rid of my PSLs. I couldn't give them away. I couldn't find anybody to give me $64 to go sit in the seats. And now they can't find anybody. And they're out on Facebook every day begging me to buy single game tickets for 6 months at a time. And then the Rams show up on a 65 degree day and there's 15,000 empty seats. Like it's different. And I can't put my finger on it, but my kid didn't want to be in that seat. My kid's in his 30s.
I bet he's still a fan though, right?
Yeah, but not in the way he used to be. Not in that. And here's the difference. And I don't want to leave you with this part of the civic part of it, but you know this. Baltimore is the most provincial place on earth. And it's the thing that like Los Angeles lacks. Like we're all going to gather around the Rams because they're our team, right? They're not. And the Ravens were our team because we didn't have a team. It was stolen. There was angst. It came back. People my age taught our kids to hate the Redskins and the Steelers and the blah, 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 the Colts and all that. And now that's way thawed. Like the Colts thing's way thawed here, right? And the Steelers thing is thawed. And the football, whatever they're going to be called in a week and a half, that is really thawed. And there's no angst between the Nationals and the Orioles. There's no.
Really? I thought there was in Baltimore. There's no angst down here. Although
there's none. It's died out. Literally, it's died out the way Redskins Cowboys died out. Like, right? It just died out. It's just like, it's not a rivalry. It doesn't matter anymore in that way. And the part for me, and this is my soul, right? My soul is I founded WNST. I got into Baltimore because I love Baltimore. I worked at the Baltimore News American. I worked at the Sun. I was downtown. When Ursay took the team, he screwed my town. How do you screw? Abe Poland, you screw my town. You know, Edward Bennett Williams, you better not screw my town, right? So this was, when we got a team back, it was Ray Lewis caught on quick. That's my town. Baltimore's my town, my town. I live in Orlando, my town, you know? And that's gone. There's no more Baltimore pride. We had a murder of LaScala general manager here tonight. We like, people in the suburbs disown Baltimore. It's politically, right? And that was the genesis of why we loved sports a generation ago. I don't know what would make an 18-year-old a fan of the Ravens other than they love purple, they love Lamar, they love gambling, they love their fantasy team, they love the hitting, the action, the drama of it. But it's not, I'm going to fight you because you're from Pittsburgh and I'm from Baltimore. Like, and that's probably good to some degree. But it's different.
So I'm going to give you a glass half full view of that and say that fandom still exists. You can take a look at the TV ratings from the divisional playoff round that we just saw to say they still exist. I mean, they're going to be up in TV, where ratings are down across the board for everything, down. The NFL's divisional playoff games are going to be up about 20% or more. So there still are fans that are watching. It's just fandom is evolving. It's different. It is not.
I was rooting for Tom Brady the other day. I mean, that ain't never happened. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's only because he's an old guy now. You have to.
But if I had money on the game and I was down at the casino, right? I mean, it's not about your heart anymore. I'm rooting for Ryan Jensen because he's a friend of mine with the Buccaneers. If I had $50 on the game, which they want me to have now, after 30 years of Kevin Byrne trying to throw me out of the locker room, if I ever thought about betting or talking about betting because they didn't want us near that, right, as media members. Now, you know, Terry Bradshaw and Phil Sims and Boomer Esiason are out giving you their tips before the game, you know, and Mooch is telling you don't bet, but don't bet too much, you know. So
the one thing that really gets me, that the NFL is like, oh, bet responsibly after having us just bombarded with betting messages. But, you know, so I think the problem that the leagues and the teams have right now is to try to figure out. So the kids get like kids these days, but the younger generations aren't watching 3-hour games, but they are watching clips. It's sort of how they consume media. Like, we would sit down and watch Gone with the Wind for 3.5 hours. They're not doing that.
I'm familiar with this because I didn't read Moby Dick. I did the Cliff Notes.
They're not even doing the Cliff Notes. There's a way for the leagues and the teams to attract those kids that are just watching the highlights on Twitter or just going in and sampling and then coming back out. But
highlights of an NBA game are all there is, right? I mean, like, sitting and watching it. I tried this a few years ago. The kid that saved my wife's life is from Germany. He loves Dirk Nowitzki, right? Niels saved my wife's life twice with bone marrow. He's a beautiful man. He came over. He loves the NBA. European kid. He loves the NFL too. He thought he loved the Steelers. Then he met us. We fixed that. And I did 6 NBA games in 8 nights. I saw the Knicks. I saw LeBron. I saw the Clippers and the Lakers in LA. We saw Steph Curry on the floor shooting threes during warmups. I went to the Knicks. We saw LeBron play in DC. So I went to all these NBA games, and every night I sat at Madison Square Garden watching the Knicks play the Mavericks. And I can't stay with 48-42. It's just big guys jumping around and all, and look up, oh, it's 75-71. All right, let's get another beer, $18, you know. The NBA has lost me as someone who loved the Big E and Wes Unseld, God rest his soul, and like all of that. The NBA, it feels like nobody really watches the games. Like, that's that, and they're popular around the world in a way that we have no real thought of when you go down to a Wizards game to understand how big it is in China, how big it is in Argentina, that the NBA really is the biggest export we have here, right?
Oh, it's definitely their international strategy is much better and much more expansive than what we've done with baseball.
They love China a long time, from what I understand.
I happen to be an NBA fan, and the thing that's great about the NBA right now, and the reason why the NBA is sitting pretty moving forward, is that everything that we are talking about, like, they skew young, and the NFL skews old. MLB, boy, they skew old. The NBA, that their fans and the people that watch NBA games on television or on, you know, via social, you know, it skews very, very young. And that's something that all the leagues are trying to get to.
something we're all trying to get to, get younger. John Arand is here. We were younger when we met. He's down at DC, works for Sports Business Journal. I love having you on the show. And tell me about your podcast, because you do a thing with Marshan that I think everybody should know about. And I love the work you do, Richard Deitch. I mean, all the people that really cover media and hold responsible and teach me so I can talk to other people about why their cable bill is going here and what's Masson doing and what's Sinclair doing and all that. But you do a podcast where you take a deeper dive into a lot of this stuff, right?
Yeah, once a week, it's the Marchand and Arand Sports Media Podcast. It's kind of unique because it's a Sports Business Journal and the New York Post partnering. And it was just a way, like, Marchand's great. He breaks so many stories on talent and who's calling the games and sort of, you know, a lot of what's going on with TV. I break a ton of stories on the business of sports media. And so we're just getting together. We're the guys breaking the stories, and we just want to get together and once a week just pound out all the issues. We've had some good guests come on as well, but we don't have a guest on every episode, but it's been a lot of fun so far. We started it back in the fall, and it's starting to get a little bit of traction. We're having a really good time with it.
You're the guy that in DC still loves the Orioles. You're wearing your Oriole hat. You're not anti-Nats, right? You're pro-Nat, right?
You know, when the Nats won, it's civic pride. I still get that. It was great to see the DC sort of, puff their chest out a little bit. So
I don't know about civic pride in baseball. I'm from Baltimore.
I will tell you this. You said this. It is. How long has this rebuild been going on, Nestor? You're asking me to travel now up I-95 or the BW Parkway, spend on parking, spend on tickets, spend $20 on a beer, and you're not putting and we're going to be losing what, 110 games a season? Like, that's a
if
big
they play effort. If they play. Let's not forget the labor part of this, right? Like it's quiet. Remember how pissed off you were in 81? Remember how pissed off you and I were in 94? 30 years later, I'm like, out of sight, out of mind. If they open spring training, I ain't going anyway. And they're going to lose 100 games anyway. And I'm probably not buying. I moved to the county now, so I'm not. I live two blocks away. I mean, I lived two blocks away for 18 years. The reason my wife and I bought our place, and this was the view, was to walk to Oriole games. And I think we've been to 3 Oriole games since Buck left. Maybe 2. I mean, literally, since Buck left. And even when Buck was there, we went twice a year, maybe 3 times a year when somebody would give me a ticket. I don't know what the future is for them. I really don't. And I don't know where that fan base is coming from. And John, I'm plugged in on it with business here and human beings like me. I'm 53. There's a lot of money I could give them over the next 20 years, right? Like, I got a lot of life left. I'm young. I'm going to the Super Bowl next. I would be willing to do that. There's going to come a point where there's going to be new ownership here. This Masson thing and all the money that John and Lou have put into their coffers and whatever, that's drying up. What does the next 5 years look? I mean, what are they? What's Rob Manfred thinking?
I don't know. I look, when we were young, like, our memories of like 79, our memories of 83, our memories of even when we didn't win, you know, in 82, losing in that last game to the Brewers at home after, like, you know, taking the previous 4 games, like, you have these great memories of these teams that either won or were good. And you had good players and stars that you loved, like Eddie Murray and Jim Palmer. And when you tank and you've been tanking for the past 5 years, imagine taking those 5 years from like 79 to 84 and they didn't exist.
And being the Mets.
would I even be an Oriole fan then? Like I didn't, like, there's nothing to even like we're they're asking me to go to a game and cheer for team guys that aren't even going to be on the team when they get good. It's a very difficult ask. And I'm just really worried about the team. They've certainly lost. My kids will never root for the Orioles. They're strict Nationals. Because the Nationals won when they were there. They like the Nats. And we're not going up to Baltimore to see the Orioles play. It's I never thought that I'd raise non-Oriole fans.
As a Baltimorean, and if I live long enough to ever see this, it'll be sad. But if the team ever were to leave or really just go away in some way, lacrosse would be such a big part of that for this community. Not anywhere else. And I know they play lacrosse in other places, but I think the white people in the suburbs here who all played baseball – in my name, especially the places where they vote for Trump, like on my side of town, you know, that blue collar side of white people in Baltimore played baseball and still do and still They're the people in Anne Arundel County and the people in East Baltimore and to some degree Northwest Baltimore are still the base of what's left of the Oriole fans, and all the rest of it in Timonium and Hopkins and Columbia, they got a lacrosse stick. Harford County, they got a lacrosse stick. And you can't have both as a kid. And when you're 12, 13, 14, picking up a stick, putting on a helmet, having that kind of action, as opposed to, as my dad would say, picking daisies in right field, or becoming a relief pitcher that starts, that's a whole other thing. That's shift. We'll get into all of that old guy baseball stuff. But the Baltimore part of that, lacrosse is a huge, huge draw for your interest once the weather Three weeks from now, do you want a lacrosse stick or do you want to be out practicing baseball on March 4th, right? And do you want to play baseball? And who are your friends that play baseball? And who are your friends that play lacrosse? And my sister plays lacrosse. My sister doesn't play softball because there's no league or whatever it is. Baseball is in trouble and in real trouble. And then these creeps up in New York running the place and these guys that own the team here, they took left field, John. I've been on the phone almost an hour with you. They took left field. Like, I didn't even talk to you about that. I spent a week last week talking about a left field that's going to create flyouts. If you're there, I don't know what they're doing. Who's running that joint?
I mean, Mike Devereaux, he jumping into the stands. What's happening? I know.
Brady, without steroids, just ask him. Well, I mean, for the Orioles, what do you see? I mean, from a future – when's the next time you're coming up for a game? You love the Orioles.
Look, they have to win. They just have to they have to be committed to winning, and they have to prove, I think, to the fan base that they're committed to winning. And over the past several years, they've been committed to some sort of like let's bottom out. And I'm going to go to Bowie because I think Bowie is where all the future stars are. So why would I invest in the Orioles? Why don't I invest in going to see the real good players in Bowie? Baltimore's going to get good. The Orioles are going to get good again. It's just going to take a while because they're coming up through the farm system, and then you got to have a lot of luck on top of that.
I'm gonna give a free plug here to some very nice people, okay? Because you asked me about crab cakes, all right? So when you go to Bowie, I went with Michael Steele and had a crab because it was his recommendation. You go to Bowie, you go to Jerry's and get the crab bomb, all right?
Jerry's and Bowie.
Crab bomb. Google that. It's trademarked, and I never knew why. And I had them on. It's double yolk. So we talked about what makes a good, we'll end with this because you start with crab cake. What makes a good crab cake is in the eyes of the beholder, right? They do a double yolk. It's a really creamy crab, different than any other place that I've had a crab cake, the crab bomb at Jerry's. So there you go. So when you go to Bowie, I just hooked you up with a crab cake. I'll meet you down there. Awesome. We'll watch Grayson Rodriguez.
I can't wait.
Make sure they don't start his clock, you know?
You've inspired me. I'm going to do my own crab cake tour. I can't wait. I'm just going to make that a summer thing. I'm not doing one a day.
You're going to be a cheapskate about it. You're not going to have a good crab cake.
I'm not one a day. I'm going to do one a week, but we'll be good. It'll be good.
That was my stolen idea. People ask me about the crab cake tour. I'm like, I remember back in like the 80s seeing like an evening magazine special on like these old dudes. It was kind of like Going in Style, who went every Friday and did this as friends. They found a new place every week. And I saw this story, and I've asked Marty Bass, I've asked Dan Rodericks, I've asked I asked Michael Olesker if they remember these people, and they don't. The idea I have for the crab cake court was stolen, and I don't know where it was stolen from because I can't remember. But it was a bunch of guys that just got together, like you're talking about, and
that's
said,
awesome, man. They're
just
totally
friendship.
Feeling it.
It's that's totally the idea. And the next time I have a crab cake anywhere near DC, you're coming. How about that? All right,
Montgomery County or DC, definitely count me in.
John, I appreciate you, and I'm glad you stayed a little longer. You should come back a little more often. Good luck with the podcast with Andrew, and hope to see you in L.A. in 2 weeks with masks on. I won't recognize you.
Yeah, I'll definitely switch. You're Radio Row, right?
I'll be the guy with the long hair.
Yeah, I know. I'm impressed by that. I took all mine off.
John Aranda and I will be attending Game 1 of the World Series at Camden Yards in 2032. My hair will look like his at some point. Appreciate you. Sports Business Journal, make sure you're following him out on Twitter, on social media. Make sure you check out the podcast because it's fantastic as well. John is in D.C. I am in Baltimore, and we're all getting along through the Orioles. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570. We never stop talking crab cakes in the Maryland Crab Cake Tour presented by the Maryland Lottery. We'll let ourselves play as soon as we can at Nacho Mama's.